Merkle Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. Tony used to do that, and he'd like bring it up and put it there for me. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. He'd have it real small, like so he could see, because he's sitting right in front of me. Like, I really can't see that. You know, that's really not coming through for me. So, well, you know, welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. This is kind of an off the cuff, just a conversation between Chip and myself, and we hope you enjoy it. And let's get some of this business out of the way. Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm Brian Merkle.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
And we are Hammer Lane Legends. And we're going to just have, like I said, just a short conversation with just Chip and myself. And if you have a story you'd like to share with us, whether it's whether you think it's exciting or not, or whether you think it's nothing to really talk about, there's always something for you to talk about. That is one thing I have learned in the trucking industry, is that drivers have things to say, and whether you believe it or not, you actually do. And when you start having a conversation, things come to mind. So in order for you to facilitate that, go to hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. You can leave us a message there and talk, tell us what you want to talk about, or just say, hey, I'd like to come on the show and have a conversation. That would be cool. Just come on and do that. Or you can reach us through hammerlanelegends.com. That's hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and send us a message that way. And one way or the other, we're going to get you on the show and talk with you. While you're there at the website, check out the hammerlanelegends.com/gear. And see what all we've got there in the store. We've got all kinds of stuff. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, mugs, coffee mugs, regular coffee mugs, like ceramic ones that you use at home. And we've got travel mugs and all water bottles, stickers, all kinds of stuff there. So check out the gear section as well. Ship, tell them about the voicemail line.
Yeah, voicemail. Short story, 5-10 minutes at the most. Dial us up at 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375. Short story, 5-10 minutes at the most. Anything longer, email the show and we'll get you scheduled to come on.
Fantastic. That is it. Email the show and come on. We'd love to just have a conversation with you, more than just having a voicemail. We love having voicemails, don't get me wrong, but it's so much more fun. It's just much more interesting to actually sit down and talk with somebody and feel out the story and ferret it out and talk about it, you know? And, just taking a look around you, the world around you, take a look and see what's going on, supply chain issues and all kinds of things happening. You know, if you feel that there's a need in your life to actually make sure you have some kind of preparation and you have something ready to go in case the roof caves in, the floor drops out, or whatever, the creeks rise, who knows, whatever.
Or all the above.
Or all of the above. Exactly. Because at this point, who knows? Right. Everything is possible. You cannot count anything out. Just go to preparewithhll.com. They've got everything you might need, you might think you need, or you think you don't need. They've got it. Water purification. They've got, little solar panels. They've got all kinds of little things, and including food. Food that will last 25 years. You can get a 3-month supply, a 1-month supply, and go on from there. So check it out. I mean, it's a good deal. And it never hurts to be prepared. It's better to be prepared today and not need it than to not be prepared and find yourself in need.
And aren't they doing a payment plan?
Yes, they do. They have a payment plan. They have, if you want to order it and you're not, it's a lot at one shot right now, They do have a payment plan. They do have all kinds of cool stuff going on there.
They don't want you to starve, so they stretch it out for you.
Exactly.
They want you to be prepared.
They want you to be able to be alive while you're eating the food so you can pay. You can finish paying it off.
Right.
You know, just in case. And
they're not going to stretch it out 25 years, but
no, but you know, in today's world, every little bit helps, exactly. You know, so, and tell them about Buy Me a Coffee, Chip.
Yes. Buy him a coffee. Cause I don't drink it, you know, keep us fueled. BuyMeACoffee.com/Hammer Lane. Give him some coffees, keep him caffeinated going down the road because he takes about 2 gallons a night.
Keep shipping soda. He loves Coke and Mountain Dew. So what does that say about
up on Coke or Mountain Dew, whichever you
that's
like.
Right. Caffeine.
We're equally sharing there between Coke and Pepsi product there.
There you go. Caffeine in any form. That's what it is. Caffeine in the preferred form. So I'm all about that. Well, you know, today is kind of like an introduction day and it's not really an introduction. It just gives Ship and I a chance to sit and chit chat and talk and just kind of, you know, muse about where we've been, what we've been doing, the way, you know, what's been going on the past couple of months. You know, the show hasn't been on hiatus, but it feels almost like it has been, you know, with Tony moving and all of that going on.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to give a chance for Ship to kind of talk a little bit and kind of get you used to hearing his voice and, you know, listening to what he has to say. He's a guy with a lot of experience. So, Ship, you know what? Have some time.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, came on the show a couple times, and when Tony decided to make the move, you know, I was summoned, as they said, but the three wise men decided to ask me if I wanted to jump on board. I said, absolutely. And figure why not give this puppy a ride? Give some something else that I could say I'd driven.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. So you've been driving for a long time. You've had a lot, a you know, long and storied career, as they say. Yes. How long have you been on the road?
Well, I literally ever since been driving ever since 16. You know, some form of a tow truck, straight truck, you know, air freight truck. You know, ever since 16.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's a long time ago, dude.
Yeah.
You know, we're not getting any younger, so 16 is further and further in the rearview mirror, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely in the rear view. Like you said, you know, we're all starting to plan exit strategy.
Exactly.
The key word.
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm with you, and I get it. It's crazy because it's who'd have figured that time would have gone by this fast?
Yeah.
You know? Well,
some days it's fast. Other weeks it's...
some days feel like a week.
Yes.
And the older you get, the more it feels that way.
Exactly. You said, you know, back when I got in it, it was, you know, to me, it was fun. I mean,
yeah.
It's you know, nowadays, it's knocked some of the luster off of it, but, you know, still keeps a roof over my head.
So. Amen, brother.
Got to go with that.
Yep. And you know, the funny thing is I wonder sometimes, and I know it is, I know it's a combination of the two. The industry has changed.
Right. Right.
But so have we.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like the more you do this, the longer you do this, even though it's something you've done, you know, basically your whole working life, you know, you've been doing some type of driving, tow truck, you know, tractor trailer and everything else in between, you know, we've changed. You know, the industry has definitely changed. It's definitely not as much fun. And I wonder sometimes if it's not as much fun because we're just getting older, you know, and you've been doing this for so many years, and you look at traffic patterns and that's, I think, is one of the things that is extremely frustrating. You know, what do you think about how traffic, especially here in PA, where we got an influx of
absolutely.
People?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, back when I started in the 80s, was it 79, late 70s, early 80s.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, there's construction, but it wasn't the next 50 miles.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and I mean, that's just a product of its own, you know, from, you know, the increase in trucks. I mean, you know, we just had a conversation with a friend of mine that worked, you know, in the industry and then just went out, bought his own truck and's been doing his own gig, and just we were having a conversation about the 81 corridor, mm-hmm. 78 corridor, you know, about the amount of warehouses going in.
Oh, my word.
I mean, you know, They haven't made the roads any wider than that what they were in the 70s.
Exactly.
You know, it's just this increased truck traffic. It's just, you know, everybody's liking the Amazon. Everybody's like ordering shit at home. Well, it's got to get to the warehouse so we can get to you.
Yes.
And it's always ever increasing here, you know, as far as the traffic goes. And I mean, the increase and the frequency of accidents, you know, used to be, okay, once in a while a truck went off the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, now it's three times a week you're hearing it sometimes on certain times. And it's like it's taking out more people, you know, as far as cars, you know, four-wheelers, you know, it's upped its game. And everybody, you know, staring down at their phones, you know, they say they don't do it, but you can tell the guy that's doing it. You know, he's doing 40 miles an hour in a 70 mile an hour speed zone. Yep.
And swerving all over
and
the place.
And swerving back and forth. Yeah. Yes. And then, you know, you go, but you try to get by him, you blow the horn up, and they're looking at you, shooting you, and telling you you're number one.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
it's a beautiful thing. It is. It's funny because, you know, people think rush hour starts around 7 o'clock in the morning. We drive at night. Rush hour does not start at 7 o'clock.
Rush hour is at 5 o'clock. Somebody waves a flag at 4:45 and gets everybody out of their house and on the highway.
Yes, and that includes trucks.
And that isn't a, you know, when I used to run into Jersey, it used to be, you know, the one way in.
Yep.
And then 5 o'clock at night, the one way out.
Everybody's going the opposite direction.
The opposite direction. It's just the constant flow is in both directions anymore. It's just not a one-way traffic pattern anymore, and it's not getting any easier.
It's not. You know? It really isn't. And unfortunately, that is the thing that becomes the thing that makes this less fun,
right?
All the time.
More, yeah, more aggravating. Yeah, you know?
Because there's been no consideration until just in the recent couple of years to expand.
Right.
The highways to make them bigger,
yeah, to expand them, to put climbing lanes in now.
Right.
You know, climbing lanes should have been in 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're just getting around to it now.
Yeah.
By the time they get this done, they're going to need to expand it again.
Yep.
And it's like the construction is 15 years behind the curve of what's required.
Yeah. It's a perpetual job anymore.
Exactly.
You know, it's like we often joke about it, but it really is true. There's two seasons in PA. And that is winter and construction.
Exactly.
You know, and you know,
and the road sign saying construction for the next 30 years.
Right. Exactly. You know, that's the kind of job where you get into it when you're 18 and retire.
Right.
You know, just stay in it. And
you might have finished that 5 mile section.
Right. Exactly. Over and over and over. Right. Exactly.
You know, look at the Northeast Extension there, you know.
Oh, my word.
When that got put in, you know, two lanes is all they needed. And now they're, you know, three wide each side, and they might blow another hole in the tunnel up there to, you know, make it three wide.
Because right.
What's the sense in having three lanes wide each
bottled
way
into two
and
to go
sucking
a
down to go through a tunnel to come back out again?
Yes, so, exactly. You
know, I hate to be around when that big dig happens.
Oh,
I hope to be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can sit back in my chair and just watch this.
Yep. Yep. Hold on to that project until I'm out.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want to be a part of this. You know, and it's just crazy. You know, we look at this. And you know, this is where it's like, you know, you want to entice other, you know, young people into the industry.
Right.
You do.
Right.
You want to see young people come in. You want to, because, you know, right now we're just kind of replacing old drivers with old drivers.
Right.
You know, and that's just not going to bode well later on in the industry when all these old drivers are looking to retire. Right.
These old drivers with the bad knees, the bad hips.
Yeah. Bad backs.
Right. You know.
Because driving has been such a glorious job.
Yes. You know. No inside deliveries for me.
Yeah, exactly. It you know, it takes its toll. You know, it just does, like every industry does, you know, no matter what you do. If you, like, we were just talking with another driver just before we started talking here. And he said, you know, it's like this in every, and it is, it's like this in every industry, you know,
right.
Whether you work in a warehouse or you work on a dock or you work, you know, in an office, you know, somewhere, you know, you've got struggles and frustrations, right. And everything.
You know, you work
else.
In the office, there's the guy there, it's been 28 years,
yeah.
You know, looking down at you, it just started here. Oh, yeah.
Right.
You have high expectations.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I remember some of the conversations I had when I first started here at Pitt, and it's like, well, that really hasn't transpired.
Right.
You know? That's just the way it is.
They're just getting their terminal start to get
right. Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's been a good company to work for. I mean, right. You know, no company's perfect, and I don't expect them to be perfect. But, you know, it's one of those funny things. And this is, it's always been in the back of my head is, you know, the owner of this company has always found a way to make it move forward.
Right.
You know, yeah. And that's. That is
you, and I do believe you got to have growth. I mean, at some point where you say, we really don't want to try and grow this year, you know, we just want to stay at an even keel. That's when I think you're actually taking a step backwards.
Yeah, stagnation begins to set in. Exactly. It really does. So, you know, it's just the industry is what it is. You know, we kind of chit chat about the industry sometimes, and I was talking to Ship about an article I read. You know, just this weekend, you know, about with Pete Buttigieg, you know, talking about how we have 300,000 drivers leaving the industry every year. And, you know, when we are already short drivers and you have all these drivers leaving at the same time, it just puts that much more pressure on everybody else who's staying in the industry, right. Who's doing this.
Right.
And it, you know,
it's simple math with your abacus. If 300 go out and 300,000 don't come in, that's not job creation. You're just replacing people.
Yes, that is it. You know, there's
when you get to 302, well, now you're actually creating.
Right, right. And the thing is what can the industry do to retain drivers? What can they do to get people to stay?
I've had this conversation. I mean, you know, these places, you know, top rate right away, overtime right away.
Yeah.
I mean, these are things you didn't see when you or I started.
No,
you know,
not at all.
Before, you know, 18 cents a mile to start, you know, and you can drive all the miles you want, but you're making 18 cents a mile.
And that's it. Know? Yeah.
Now, you know, you're at 70, 75, 80 cents plus, you know.
Yeah.
And those companies, it's not like they have, you know, they're at, you know, that they have their entire workforce there.
Right.
They're still looking for people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the answer is.
Right.
You know, everybody's saying, you know, hire veterans and this and that. Well, we've been doing that for years.
Right.
You know, it's not a new phenomenon. You know, hire women drivers. It's been same an open thing. Door policy. Yep. I mean, there's women working for our company, you know. Anybody that can drive, you know, that has a clean driving record, you know, that's not an asshole.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. And even some of those get hired. Yeah,
some of them go through the cracks there, you know.
They do. They do. But. And it's a difficult thing. It just is. I mean, this, you know, I've said this a couple of times, and actually, you know, it's one of the things that I think about, you know, and this is one of the things that the industry doesn't think about. And yet at the same time, I get it because we're talking about an industry that covers, you know, road drivers, you know, as far as over the road drivers and LTL carriers and, you know, your regular gasoline delivery guys and everything else. So not everybody's an over the road driver. Not everybody has a sleeper. So not everybody, you know, is living in their truck in this industry. And yet the same rules that apply to those guys apply to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, what person in their right mind on an average day in an average life just pick somebody off the street and ask them, do you want to work 14 hours a day?
Right.
You know, just on your daily basis, you're home every day, but you want to work 14 hours a day.
Right.
Exactly. You know, the average person is going to look at you and say, what, are you crazy?
Right.
And yet that's how the industry is set up. These are the rules of the industry that the DOT says you can work 14 hours a day. You can drive 11, work 14, and one day a week you can work 16 hours a day.
Right.
Now, who in their right mind really wants to work 14 hours a day and be home every, you know, it's like if I worked at Amazon and went to Amazon for punched in and worked for 14 hours and then came home, and then tomorrow I'm supposed to do that same thing again and come home, and then tomorrow I'm supposed to do that same thing and do that 5 days a week.
Amazon will love you. I think you'd be the employee of the month.
Probably, yeah. You know, but it's like that is what the industry expects. That's what, because the DOT regulates what we can do and how many hours we can work. And because they say it's okay, every trucking company that's how we treat our daily workers who are here every day.
Right.
You know, who come in and out the gate and punch in and do their job and then punch out and go home. Well, that, you know,
you know, to a truck driver, a 40-hour week, that's Monday to Wednesday. You know, right. What are you doing the rest of the week?
Right, exactly. And it that to me, it has become one of the things that I look, because I'm not any younger now than I was. I'm older than I was 30 years ago when I started doing this thing.
Good and math.
It is good math, isn't it? I got my abacus out.
I'm older.
When I look at that, I look back and I think of all the games I missed, all the things that my kids were doing that I wasn't able to be there for because I'm working 12-14 hours a day every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the average person nowadays looks at this and they're like, I don't want to work like that.
Right.
You know, can we cut it down to 10 hours a day? And that's not to say that should be written in stone by the federal government either. It's just that should be a common sense approach to anybody who, you know, is hiring people to do a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there comes a point where people look at it and say, it's not worth it anymore.
Right.
You know, you can get to a point where you earn enough money that I'm no longer taking home what I'm earning. Uncle Sam is taking it.
Right.
Because my taxes have increased because, you know, there's actually an amount of hours that you can work that's like, okay, I'm making money. After that point, you're making, you know,
exactly
$5 an hour out of the $30 an hour that you're making.
Yeah, like working your overtime, and then you realize when you actually sit there and figure it out, you're at $5, even though you got paid time and a half.
Right.
With
Uncle Sam got paid the time and a half.
With the tax and everything, it boils down to you getting $5 extra per hour.
Yeah, and that's, you know. I mean, you talk about incentive for someone to work. What's the point of my working if I'm making less than minimum wage per hour take home?
Exactly.
At that point, it's like there's no point to it. So there are things in the industry that I think need to change that can change. At the same time, it's like, I know, how do you make those changes when you're short drivers? How do you make, so it's kind of like a catch-22, you know, mm-hmm. it's a circular argument. You keep coming back around to the same, you know, the same points. What do you do?
Yep.
You know, you try and entice with benefits. You try and entice with, you know, the amount of money you make, whether you're getting paid hourly or whether you're getting paid mileage. It's a difficult thing. And it just keeps everybody in this catch-22 because everybody who's doing it is getting tired.
Right.
And people who are coming in don't want to do it.
And that's just the driving part. I mean, then you get to these warehouses you're delivering to.
Yes.
And then you have wait time, you know.
Yep.
Some places pay the attention time. Some places, well, that's your time.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
And my theory on this, like, you know, owner-operators, you know, my theory is, when you leave your house, kiss your wife goodbye, mm-hmm. and you turn the key on your truck, until you get back and turn that key back off,
right?
You're just, and you say you're out for a week. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's almost, you know, what is that? You know, simple math there. 24 hours a day.
Right.
You know, you're not home. So technically, in my mind, it's work.
You're working.
You know, whether you're sleeping in your bunk or mm-hmm. whatever, it's still, you're not home.
Yes.
So, you know, now you're putting, you know, 24 hours a day until you get back. And then now dollar cost average that out between your fuel, your meals, your insurance, your tags.
Yeah.
Welcome to Walmart. How can I help you?
Yep. It sounds more and more enticing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, you know? It does. I totally agree with that.
And especially now in this day and age, you know, $6.56 a gallon for diesel. I mean, how?
Do the math, you know?
You know, either, you know, talk to some of these people, like, you know, the past 2 years have been good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know,
fuel prices are crazy.
Fuel prices are through the roof. Yep. So you needed to have squirreled that money away to cover you to get through this next load cycle until it picks back up again, because, you know, these rates, they're not going up. You and me, we get paid mileage. Our mileage is the same every night of the week.
That's right.
You know, the guys that deliver during the day, their hourly wage is the same wage every day of the week, you know, every night. That's not changing. The owner operator, you know, he's taking a load from Texas to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's getting X number of dollars. That's it.
Yep.
That's got to cover fuel, tolls. You know,
insurance is everything.
Insurance,
else.
You know,
and,
it's
and you
and maintenance on the vehicle.
It's, yeah, it's, and your paycheck.
Yeah,
you know, it all has to come out of that.
You know, it's difficult. It looks good on paper when, okay, I made $7,000 this week. All right, now what were your expenditures?
Right,
and then after that, how long were you out from? Right. You know, time you left the house till you got back.
Right. And you start looking at that on an hourly basis.
Right.
That brings your hourly rate way down.
Way down.
And, you know, and the funny thing is, like, we talk about fuel costs. You know, when you do quick math on that, you know, and you're buying, you know, just
You say you're buying 100 gallons of fuel.
Right.
Okay, $6.56 a gallon, you know, it's $656.
Yes.
You know, and it's only 100 gallons. Now, most of these trucks are doing 300. So now multiply that by three people. Let's stay with us.
Yep.
And we're well up. We're $1,800, you know, for fueling a truck.
Yes.
And that's $1,800 before you got your job to decide where you're going.
Yeah. $1,968 for 300 gallons of gas at $6.56. And that is, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about, but we don't ever put a number on it for people.
Right.
People who don't do this for a living, people who don't have to do it, people who aren't buying it, people who are, you know, facilitating the purchase of the fuel for the truck that has to get. Now, 300 gallons is $1,900.
Right. You know, these LTL companies, they put a fuel surcharge on their bills.
Right.
Okay. Your trash guys, your home trash is getting fuel surcharge your bill. Okay. Owner operators, they're not getting it because they're getting their loads from brokers.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, I really emphasize, you know, feel sorry for these guys.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
You know, I mean, at what point do you just park the truck and get a regular job and wait for shit to get better?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. At what point do you just park the truck and go to an LTL carrier and just get home every day?
And that's, you know, that is a guy that has his truck paid for.
Yes.
Now throw in the mortgage payment on a truck.
Right.
You know, because it's usually every 2 weeks you're paying on it. I mean, the numbers, you know, you have to use somebody else's abacus at this point. You know what I mean?
You're using two, exactly.
You know? And, it's, you know.
I mean, just thinking about that, but, you know, what a broker paid you last week for a load is probably what they're going to pay you this week for a load.
Right.
From, you know, if you're hauling the same thing from the same company last week, this week, last
or
week.
Or less, probably, because, hey, it's more frequent now. We can get a cheaper rate now.
Right.
You know, but it's not, you're not making anything.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. You know, I mean, last week fuel prices were $5.50 or $5.80 a gallon. This week they're $6.56. You know,
so the same went up $1 a gallon
in 1 week. And here you are. You've got, you know, the load's paying the same, but your cost as the driver, as the independent owner operator, didn't go up. You know, your costs went up, but, you know, that's it. Your costs went up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the thing. You know, your pay didn't increase, but your costs did. Yep. Now, how do you square that? How do you square that circle? You can't.
You can't.
You can't. Not in this kind of industry where there's that lack of flexibility when it comes to owner. And those are the guys that do the long haul stuff. Those are the guys that take it from Texas to New York. You know,
those are the guys that are sitting in the truck stops in Texas, and I got to find a load to get out of here. Yep. You know, because I can't drive deadhead. Free. You can't deadhead.
Yeah.
You know, they're sitting 2 or 3 days to get a load. Oh, I got this load. It's going to pay $300. At that point, you say, screw it, I'll take it just to get the hell out of it.
Get out, right.
You know, and, you know, you hope
to hopefully position yourself. Yeah,
position yourself somewhere else. Like, okay, if it's going to Atlanta, maybe I can get, you know, the East Coast corridor. Maybe I can get something there. But that's the game you're playing.
Yeah.
That is the game that these people are playing. Now, you know, I've known about it, but I've really, you know, keeping in touch with the guy I know that has his own tractor. You know, it really hits home for me, you know, and it's like, God bless them, man. You know, but at some point, these guys are going to just say it's not worth it.
Right.
And then you think you had a supply chain issue. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? That's what it, you know. So it all plays together.
Right.
I mean, this whole thing,
it's a big intricate cog here that, you know. It's gonna get worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're wrestling with this. And on top of that, you know, what's the incentive for somebody to come into the industry now when all you hear in the news is the negativity about the industry and the idea that we're going to go to automated trucks and everything else.
Right.
So somebody coming in who's 21 years old and says, okay, I'm going to get into this industry and maybe I can retire from it. Well, when that person at 21, if they're smart enough to take a look further down the road, what's the incentive for that person if they feel like in the next 20 years, we're not going to have drivers?
Yeah.
What's who wants to get in that and spend 20 years of their life? Okay,
right.
you're 21 now. By that time, you're 40, 45 years old.
Right.
And you've spent the better part of your life to retrain at 40 or 45 years old. What's the point? You know, so these are things that you look at and it's like there are a bunch of things that aren't meshing. And it, you know, I'm not sure what the person who doesn't drive, I don't know what their thought process is when it comes to these things, but these are things that drivers have to think about.
Right.
You know, these are things that we look at down the road. You know, yeah, in this industry, it's a lot over the course of you know, the 30 years I've been doing it, there's a lot of times where it's feast or famine.
Right.
This never seems to be this middle ground where everybody's happy and everything's working okay. And you're working, 10 hours a day. And you're like, this is great because this is like working, you know, human life.
10 hours of you and me is part time.
Yeah, it really is. You know, that's the thing that it's like, you know, people don't get it.
10 hours is an early night.
It is. Right. I mean, you know, starting when we start, you know, 7 o'clock at night, you know, 10 hours, it's like, wow, I'm done in early morning.
Right.
You know,
nothing's open, but hey, I'm done.
But I'm done. You know, start hopefully at 7 and done by 5.
I can beat the crowd to get home.
To get home. Right. And I've made my paycheck. You right. know? But it's a problem that progresses. And that's not to say that we're sitting here whining about the problem. We're just talking about these things.
Right.
It's not a question of and this is something you get sometimes from people in other industries. Well, stop whining about it. Just, you know, that's what your job is. It's not a question of whining. It's like, do you want to work 14 hours a day?
This is just facts.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Plain and simple.
Not sugarcoating it.
Right.
If you want sugarcoating, go somewhere else.
Go to General Mills. You know,
right.
Go get yourself a box of
yourself a box of Frosted Flakes.
There you go. That's it. That's it. Because, you know, on top of that, and again, these are things that people who don't do this for a living don't think about. But, you know, we just talked about all the construction. Well, the construction delays happen all the time. You know, we work in the middle of the night and they're doing road work and there's construction delays.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just on that aspect of it. Would you want to work construction during the day when all these other idiots are out?
No, I mean, look how many times we see accidents.
Yeah, how many times you hear, you know, construction worker getting killed, getting hit, you know, guy not paying attention, drives right over to freaking walls.
Right.
And they're in the construction.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it is amazing.
They put those 4-foot Jersey dividers up for a reason to protect themselves, but some people find it an art to get in there and what you doing, boys?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm on your foot. Sorry about that. You know,
exactly.
You know, it's crazy. And yet at the same time, for us, you know, if I sit for an hour in traffic, I don't get paid more.
Right.
You know, I've just, my hourly rate has now diminished because I'm paid mileage.
Mm-hmm.
So a job that I can get done in 9 hours or 10 hours or 11 hours has now become a 13 hour night.
Right.
You know, and those are things that don't get figured in, that the average person, you know, they get to work, they're at work.
Right. As soon as they hit the clock, they're getting paid.
They're getting paid. We get to work, we're at work, but we're, you know, that's not where I stay.
Right.
That's not where we stay. We start moving and that night begins to roll on. And before you know, I mean, how many times do we look at the clock and we're like, I cannot believe it's freaking midnight already. Yes. And I've got one running.
I'm 2 hours behind schedule from where I was last night.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's all right. It didn't mean it that bad.
I know, right?
Please stand by.
Yeah, this getting over these colds, these springtime colds and stuff. Oh, my word, is the allergies is ridiculous. And I had to take a drink of coffee, you know, I had to wash some of that down. But it's just crazy because our, you know, the night doesn't stay static.
Right.
And it's crazy when you start at 7 o'clock and you get your, you know, you've got your first run in and you look at the clock and you're like at 11:30 or midnight and you're like, I can't believe I still got two more of these to go.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, it shouldn't take this long, you know, and you start going, you know, I'm not going to get done. You start looking at the clock as to what it's going to look like the rest of the night. And you can
looking pretty
up,
shitty from here.
It is. Yeah. And you can only pick up the pace so much, you know, and then on top of those things, there are other things that get added into the industry, like speed regulators, you know, like
safety
the
devices,
yes,
cameras.
All the safety devices and cameras and everything else that are there for the protection of the driver. At the same time, they're, you know, these things kind of restrict you and they hold you back. And so you can't make up time like you used to be able to.
Nope.
Not that we ever did that. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like there's no way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just,
you know,
you're just behind a wheel and, you know, when the show's over, the show's finally over.
That's it.
You know,
And unfortunately, that is, you know, that's why it's like, this isn't a 9-to-5er. This is no punch in, punch out, normal hours like everybody else has, or make a plan. Try and make a plan. Yeah. Try and make a plan for tomorrow morning. Try and make a plan for a Saturday morning. Try and make a plan for anything. The day you make a plan for something, you figure you're going to get something done. That is the day.
You could be doing that job all week. Yes. Oh, yeah. I've been getting done at 4:30 every morning.
Yep.
That Friday night, it's 9:30.
Yep. It is. Forget it. You don't make plans. You learn not to decide to, you know what? I can't, because I don't know if I can make it.
Tell you what, I can make an appearance. I'm not sure what time.
Right.
I have a window between 8 and 12.
Exactly. I might be there. Yes, you know, I'll do the best I can. And that's all you can say anymore. You know, and that's a tough way to live your life. Again, it's the, your life is, you're missing life.
Yeah.
And you know, when you've done this for as long as we have, and it's a lot of guys out there who've done it longer than us.
Right.
You know, I look at those guys, my hat's off to those guys, because they have tolerated this and put up with this stuff their whole life. And it's because they enjoy the job. You know, none of us do this anymore at the point that we're at. This is not a decision. It's not just financial. There's an aspect to the job that you look at and you're like, yeah, you know.
I mean, don't from all the older truck drivers, that's all you hear from them. Yeah, I want to get out of this, but I can't find nothing that pays as good as this.
Right, that's it.
Yeah, you know, so you're living on it's a double-edged sword at this point in the game.
Yes, it is. That's the hard thing.
Yeah.
You know, what am I going to do? I'm not college educated.
Right.
And I'm not trained to do anything
else. I'm not going to wait for them to pay for my college.
No. By the time they pay for, I'll be dead.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, well, you know. So here you are. You're like, yeah, I'm 30 years into this, and I'm making, you know, good money. Where am I going to go? I'll make half of what I'm making now.
Yeah.
You know, what's the incentive? It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Hopefully you manage your money correctly. And, you know, at some point you just say, I really don't need this money. I can live on half my money that I usually get per week. And, you know, that's when you see these.
That's your exit people, strategy.
Yeah. Checking out.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I've had enough. Thanks for playing.
Right.
Know?
Right.
Who's our next guest, Johnny?
Exactly. You know? Well, the next contestant.
Yes. Please come down.
That's right. And that is where it's at, you know. And
the problem is, there's not that many contestants coming down the hall.
There's not as many contestants as there used to be. There's not as many willing to, and those that do, half of them stay.
Yeah,
half.
The companies are calling people that have recently, you know, retired or
quit for whatever reason.
Yep. You know, do you want to come back? You know, we can use you part time. You know, they're trying to get bodies in the door. And It's a sad situation.
It is. You know? It's very difficult.
Yeah, it's a sad situation.
Yeah, it really is difficult. And really the thing is, you know, like we had just touched on it, you know, learning to stretch that paycheck.
Right.
You know, while you're making the money, while you are making cash, while you are, you know, making what you can, you know, learning to live within the means.
There's an art of it. Yeah. Living between within your means.
Yep.
And, you know, inflation, you know, nowadays inflation going through the roof.
Yeah.
You're not even paying. You're spending more on groceries than what you did last year.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
So.
And, you know, has your paycheck caught up with it? You know, inflation starts taking hold and you're at 8% inflation. Has anybody.
Right.
Since January gotten an 8% raise?
Right.
You know, no. Of course not. So everybody's feeling the pinch.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to learn to look at your expenses and at your disposable income and say, do I really need this?
Right.
Or is this just I want this? Because that's going to help you plan your exit strategy.
Yep.
From anything you're doing. From anything you're doing in life. You know, you want to get out of whatever job you're doing. Everybody wants to retire. Everybody wants to get out early. And the only way it's going to happen is if you start looking at your paycheck and looking at yourself honestly and say, is this a want or is this a need?
Right.
And when you finally come to that point where you can look at it and say, I don't need to have that right now. I can save that money.
Right. I mean, you know, like I said, I started driving tow truck and, you know, it's the same issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, You need that's fuel. It. You need fuel in the tow truck to get to the car that's broke down.
Yep.
You know, and then tow them. So obviously, that price of that tow is, you know, used to be $50. Now it's $150.
Right.
You know, my sister got her car towed. It cost her $200.
Wow.
Said, I never, you know, $200. That's a car that was in an accident, rolled over, and you had to roll it back over and use dollies to get the thing home.
Right.
That was just her car didn't start. Needs a starter. Took it to the garage. Towed it to the garage. You know, 5 miles away. You know, $200 towing bill.
Yeah.
You know, it's hitting everybody everywhere.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You know, it's, I don't know which way is up, but you know, even if you know, the political view here gets changed around in this November, I don't see it changing right away. We didn't get here by flipping a switch.
Right. Right. You don't correct this ship in
somebody helped it out by swinging a pen.
Right.
But, you know, it's going to take a while to get back.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to take a while to get back where it's some kind of normalcy, if there is such a word.
Yep.
Of doing it.
It's funny, you know, you think about the things that would actually facilitate help in the economy, and they're ignored. You know, that's... I don't care who's in office. I don't care. That seems to be the way it is across the board with politicians one way or the other. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. You know, if it doesn't affect them, it doesn't seem to, you know, impact what they're doing. And that, unfortunately, that is the way it is. That's just where we are. That's life.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're looking for a good job and you don't mind working a lot of hours, the trucking industry is always out there and they're waiting for you to sign up. You know, I mean, when I trained for trucking, I had 3 weeks of schooling.
Right.
You know, my brother trained for trucking, I want to say maybe 5 years ago, something like that. Maybe more now, you know, 5, 8 years, whatever it is. And that was 8 weeks. I'm like, in 93, you know, 92 when I went, it was three weeks.
And that
was everything.
Yeah, and that 8 weeks, they basically... told you exactly what you needed to know to pass your test.
Yep. It's just
everything else is, you know, on the job experience.
It is. And really that is the way it is. You know, and nowadays, I mean, we didn't have these options when I got my CDL.
Right.
We did not have companies who were willing to train you on the job.
Yeah.
You know, like Pitt, Ohio. Right. You know, they're willing to bring somebody in and start them out. You know, doing dock work and then doing the apprenticeship program, working their way up to tractor trailer. That didn't exist when we went.
Yeah.
You know, there was some big companies who were training, you know, Schneider, those kind of companies. But nobody in the LTL was doing it.
You were also signing a contract with them. You were staying.
You were going to stay.
If we're going to train you, you're here for a year.
Yeah.
You're obligated, you know, for a year, whatever the length is.
Yeah. And that, yeah. You know, that is so. I mean, there are incentives.
That was, like you said, that was a way that you didn't have to pay for your training.
That's
you
right.
Know, they did this for you.
Yeah. And then when you were done,
nothing's
with training,
free in America.
No, it's not. There is no. There's
if we
no
got
free
used
ride.
To that theory.
Yeah. Exactly. And then after your training, you got paid 13 cents a mile.
Right. Right.
Wow.
But all the miles you wanted to drive,
all the miles you could handle. You know, 11 hours a day. Yeah. You know. That's just it's the way it was. It's still that way. And yet when you think about what that was paying, even now, when you look at what the average, you know, when you look online, you start typing in, okay, so what's the average truck driver who's over the road, who just started out at Schneider, who's just starting out at, you know, J.B. Hunt or whoever, you know, pick the main, you know, C.R. England, I don't care, pick a carrier. You know, when you look at that and you look at it and you're like 50,000 a year, 50 to 60,000 a year. Is that worth $50,000-$60,000 a year? Now, don't get me wrong. I realize if you are a person who's making $30,000 a year, $60,000 a year is fantastic. But when you consider that $60,000 a year is you're gone 8 weeks at a time,
right?
6 weeks at a time, you get home for a day, you're home, you get to see the wife and kids or whatever, or you're a woman and you get to just get home for a day, and you see your husband and your kids or whatever, you know. All of a sudden, that $60,000 a year.
Not so shiny.
Yeah, not so good a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that you look at, and these are the give and takes of the industry. And then the industry wonders why they have a hard time finding drivers. You know, they have a hard time getting people to do this for a living.
The only thing I could say to that is, if they can entice the younger generation in, the only thing I could say is, you know, hoping the younger generation doesn't have not saddled with a lot of debt.
Right.
Not saddled with an apartment, not saddled with a mortgage.
Right.
So now that's, you know, they're living at home when they're home.
Right.
So now that $60,000 a year is actually sounding pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have no real debt.
Yes.
You know, get your 3, 4, 5 years experience cutting your teeth in the industry.
Right.
And now you can move to something better, you know, sure. And then you'll see your salary will increase.
Yeah.
But what's constant about that, the hours of work is not going to change. You know, yep. If anything, they'll put more work on you. They'll yes. pile more. Well, you did this. We can probably hit this too with you.
Right.
You know, and you know, when you're a young go-getter,
sure,
I want all the miles I can. I mean, you heard it with Tony.
Yeah.
You know, when he first started, you know,
yes, sir.
Balls of the wall, you yeah. know,
60 hours a week,
yeah,
or
whistling, you know, Dixie, walking
I'm
through the
your
gate.
Man. Yeah. You need something done, call man. Me. I'm here. And within 2 years,
yeah,
the tune changed. Mm-hmm. It just does. Because you realize.
Why? What happened? He had kids.
Exactly. He had kids. Know? Life start. You know,
right. Real, life is moving on and life yeah. life's changing. And now your priorities change.
Yep. Only you're stuck in a job that you are doing right. 60, 65 hours a week or more.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it's the nature of it. And unfortunately, it's been the nature of it. It's always been the nature of this job.
Always,
I remember.
It always will be.
It always will be. Yeah. It's always going to be part of the job. It's always going to be one of those things that you just have to deal with. But there's a lot of reward for it.
The industry come a long way. I mean, yes, you know, your Skype, you know, we didn't have any of that. Well, nope. We had payphones you called on. That
exactly. You had to look for a payphone.
That worked.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I remember driving around Newark, New Jersey, you know, making, you know, doing P&D, you know, LTL work and your city work, what we call city work, you know, daytime mm-hmm. deliveries and pickups. And you're in, you know, in places like Newark and, you know, your company pages you, you're looking, it's 9 o'clock at night and you're looking for a payphone
right.
and you finally find one and you get out of the truck and you call them and they're like, well, where are you at? Well, I'm in Newark. Well, what are you doing on the payphone? Well,
what are you doing out of the truck?
What are you doing out of the truck? Get out, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, what, you know, and that's not to disparage any place in particular. It's just, you know, that is just the nature of the way life is, you know, looking for payphones down in Philly and it, you know. Those were the days where you didn't have a cell phone.
Right.
You know, so you're right. Those are some really great perks that we have nowadays. You know, those things where you could just type an address into your GPS in your phone and find it. Otherwise, you had to break out a map.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, my
Page word. 15, G8. This isn't bingo, people.
Exactly. You know, and it's like if it all falls apart, you know, I wonder sometimes, what are we going to do? You know, because how many people... Nowadays, how many new truck drivers coming into it know how to use a map?
Right.
You know, how many of them actually stop at the truck stop and get a truck driver, Rand McNally?
Right.
That shows you low bridges, you know, all
and bike and, paths.
And bike and bike paths. It's one of those, yeah, it is.
And that's not for your exercising pressure, Swift.
No.
Yes, there's a picture.
Oh, there is a picture. We'll have to post it to the fan page. It's hilarious. It really is. But it's like, you know, these things are they're like past. That's trucking past. When I was doing the daytime stuff, that's what I had. I had every county in North Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's how I made my way around. You figured it out. And, you know, nowadays, you know, Tony's like, well, yeah, you just type in the address and you get a Google overview.
So
you
satellite view.
Satellite view, you know, from Google, you know, the Google Earth thing view of it. And that way you can see which way you come in and which way you go out and what it looks like and how much room you have.
I used to go there, and if you made the pickup, well, I guess you can get a truck in there.
Exactly. I guess we're all right. We made it out. You know, I
get trucks in here every day.
Yeah.
UPS.
Right.
FedEx, DHL.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's a whole world. It's a whole different world nowadays. It just is. And it some things are better, some things not so much. You know, it is the nature of it. It is the way things are. And, when we talk about these things, you're hoping not to discourage anybody from coming into the industry. At the same time, you're hoping to be honest enough with people.
Right.
That when you're coming into the industry, don't come in with blinders on.
Right.
Come in with your eyes wide open. Don't let anybody, you know, BS you.
There ain't nobody here holding a magic wand.
No. And once you're on your own, there's nobody holding your hand.
Right.
You know, that's the way it is.
Trial by fire.
It really is. And that is one of that to me, that's one of the really cool things about the industry is that it's very independent.
Right.
And when I say that, I don't mean like you don't have rules to follow and you don't have, you know, you don't have a boss over you or is telling you what to do. Like here at, you know, at Pitt, they give us routes that they want us to be on when it comes to doing what we do, line haul between terminals at night. So we're given routes to go, but if something happens and that route gets closed and you need to make a decision, you got to know your way around. You got to be able to pull out a map and go, okay, so how do I get here?
Right.
This isn't where I don't live in this part of the state. I don't live in this part of the country. How do I get around this?
Yep.
You know, so you have to be resilient. You have to be, you know, thinking enough on your feet.
Hell, I get guys at night
all the time.
I get guys at night call me up.
What do I do?
How do you get around this? Did I become Rand McNally?
Exactly.
Evidently, you know, because it must be on their phone. McNally shipper.
Yep. Welcome to the Rand McNally information line. That's just the way it is.
And the sad thing is, you answer the phone because this person you haven't talked to. Yeah, take 11, go south, come around there, get back on here. You go right around. You know,
exactly.
It's automatic.
Yes, it is. It is. And that's one of the beautiful things about the industry is that there is a sense of independence.
Right.
There is a sense of, you know, once you drive out the gate.
Right.
You're in control.
You're in control. It's your office window. And, you know, it's goof proof. Get your truck empty. We're going to give you pickups. Get it filled and get the hell back.
Yep. You know, that's it. That's it. And it's
and if you can make it back in less than 12 hours, it'd be ideal that we can get it out on the get it on the truck
to go out to go to the various corners of
but we don't want to pressure you
right, which is why this guy doesn't run the city anymore. You know, I was like, that's enough of that pressure. I'm out. I'm line haul. You know, something happened. Just let me go to line haul.
Yep.
You know
exactly.
And I'm I enjoy that. Would I like to have a daytime job? Heck yeah. Would I like to have normal hours?
Everybody that works at night will say the same thing.
Exactly.
They'd love to have a daytime job.
Yep. But it is what it is, and you get used to it. You know, you just do. Yeah. That's life. So, you know, that's – well, you know what? I think that's a good show. I think it was fun chit-chatting with you. Yeah, we've got 50 minutes in just talking industry and BS. Uh-huh. You know, I mean – When Ship says that he used to drive tow trucks, he literally drove tow trucks, and I had no idea that he literally drove tow trucks in my neighborhood when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I had no idea. It's like when we first started talking, I found out that he drove, tow trucks years ago, and I lived on the street that the tow trucks he drove was at the other end of the street.
Right.
And I had no clue. You know, it was one of those like, holy crap, I actually met somebody from Bethlehem who's actually, knows his way around and did, has done stuff. It was really kind of a neat
convergence. I think that's what got the ball. That's what got ball rolling. How many people you meet for, 30 years down the road that's actually from your town.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was really cool.
I mean, it's not like it was, one stoplight and, Goober's garage, but
like Shoemakersville.
Yeah. welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. When you actually Google Shoemakersville and you look at what the population is, it's like 1300 and some odd people. That's the town I live in, people. That's it. That's where I'm at. You know, and I like the small town feel, coming from a town like Bethlehem and coming out this way.
Right.
But it's just weird when you see those things and you meet somebody who's from the same area that you're in, you had no clue. You had no idea. And yet I remember seeing the tow trucks when I was a kid, because they were very specific looking tow trucks.
They were very colorful.
They were. Exactly. Exactly. They were painted like a tiger on the back.
Yep.
You know, and so it's like, you saw them, but you never read,
unless you broke down, you didn't know.
I didn't know who you were. Yeah. And at that point, I wasn't driving, so.
Or unless you crashed and you got the city called me to take your car, You didn't know me.
That's right.
But exactly. You knew me after that.
Yes. Yes, exactly. From then on.
So. That's the son of a bitch.
He overcharged me.
Yeah, not me, brother.
It was $50 to tow my car. Wait a second. Yeah. Let's go forward 35 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, now it's $200 to tow your car.
Plus, it's like $75 a day storage, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Life has changed. Yes. And man, has it changed. So. Well, we hope you enjoyed this, just kind of getting to know Ship, just kind of talking industry, talking a little bit about, you know, things that are going on and things that we see that are going on in the industry. And you know, we're aware of it. You know, we read articles, we see the news, we see what's happening in the world around us. And, you know, all I can say is you hope things are going to get better,
yeah,
you know, but
I doubt it. I'm an optimist.
Yeah.
It ain't.
He's optimistically pessimistic.
That's
so,
it.
You know, that's the way it is. You know, that's life. But that is the trucking. That is some of the things that we see in the trucking industry that are coming. Some of the things that we see now in the trucking industry and just some personal views and some thoughts. And we hope you enjoy it. We hope you enjoyed listening to it. We hope you enjoyed an opportunity to get introduced to Shipper here. Because he really is a good guy. He's got a lot of information. He's very knowledgeable, really knows what he's talking about. He's been doing this for a long, long time and done a lot of different jobs in the industry. I mean, you know, the stuff that he and I have had conversations about, you know, the things that he knows that I look at him like, you know, not my wheelhouse, man, you know. And so it's going to be a fun ride.
Yep.
Having Shipper here.
Give it a drive.
Yep, we are. We're going to give it the best
shot. Kick the tires and test drive her out.
You got that right. we're going to get in our red trucks and consider that we are going to identify as Ferraris
and
drive down the road. That's the best we can do, you know. So we hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did enjoy the show, Shipper, what can they do if they enjoyed the show?
You can share the show.
Share the show. Share it with everybody you know and people you don't. Put it on your Facebook page. Put it on your Twitter. Put it on your Instagram, whatever. Just share the show. Talk to your friends and talk to your loved ones about the show. We hope that you enjoy it, and we hope that they'll enjoy it, too.
Hey, look at it this way. If I can figure out how to download a podcast, anybody can.
There you go. I still haven't figured that part out yet. That's what Producer Jack's all about. Thank God he's here, because it's like, you know, I've said this so many times before. I'm not technically illiterate, but I'm technologically illiterate.
Right.
So I can read and write.
I can pick up the phone and answer it.
That's
and click
it.
On Google Maps.
That's it, dude. That is it.
And people still call me.
Yes, they do. Confession here. I called Shipper one night for directions because I was like, dude, I do not know how I'm going to get around this thing and make it back in time. So he helped me out, and he's been there ever since. So... all that being said, we do hope you share the show, and you guys all take care of yourselves, and we'll talk to you next time on Hammer Lane Legends, and keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane, we're out.